all week long that we've been dealing with, and we bring that in with us. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. That's why it's important that we get together. Amen. That we get together and worship God together. He said in his word, where there are two or three in the midst, there he is. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. And I'm just so glad that you have decided to worship here this morning with us. For God is good, and he's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah, Jesus. I thank you. I thank him. I thank him. I thank him this morning. I thank him in advance for what he's already doing. I thank him in advance for where he's taking us. I thank him in advance for what he's doing with us. I thank him in advance of where he's already going to set us up to do. And he's just so good to us. Hallelujah, Jesus. He's just so good to us. He's better to us than we've been to ourselves. Hallelujah, Jesus. We've just been praying all week, just asking God for his glory, asking God for direction, asking God for his teaching. God said, yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord. We just ask him, Lord, that the city is ours. Hallelujah, Jesus. That GSO belongs to Safe House, oh God. This is our city. Hallelujah, Jesus. And we're to see this pastor, oh God. They just don't know it yet. Sometimes, you know, like I think about it, you know, even when my child was being born, oh God, that my child, she didn't know that I was going to be her daddy. But all she knew is that when, at some point she was going to get here, and she had to grow into to understanding who her father was. And she had to grow into understanding who I am. And the reason she knows that is because I care for her. Uh-huh. She knows that because I love on her. She knows that why? Because I go and I try my best to meet all her needs. Amen. And see, what happens is, church, is when we start getting out of these city walls, hallelujah, Jesus, when we start getting out of this church walls and we start compelling them to come, and when we start getting into the soup lines, and when we start going to the drug houses, when we start getting out of the city and they see our name, they don't know right now that we're the Father. They don't know right now that this is their church. They don't know right now that GSO belongs to the Safe House. But soon enough, in due season, they will know that this is the place that God has called them to be, that this is the place that God has called them to come in and lay root, that this is a place of discipleship. We don't come in here messing around, that this is a place of discipleship, that you come in and you learn and you get better. We understand that sometimes deliverance is instant and sometimes deliverance is a process. Amen. You know, I think about it sometimes when we're talking about healing, though, sometimes I can be healed in an instant, but then sometimes there's healing in as a process, that, you know, I get that call server and I don't, they call them go away immediately. Do it. No, it's got to get into my system. And as it gets into my system, man, it starts to work in collaboration with things that are already in me. Amen. There's some things that are already in me that's called antibodies. Amen. As it started to work with my antibodies and that stuff, then what? Now it got a little bit more boost to do what it needs to do. So I'm here to tell you today that God, that GSO belongs to the Safe House, that Greensboro belongs to the Safe House. This is our city and this is our territory. And I decree and declare it right now in the name of Jesus that Safe House is going to be a safe place in this place. Amen. That this place is not going to be a place of destitute, but it's also going to be a place of empowerment, that we're going to put people in empowerment positions, that God has called us to do work. Amen. That there's some things inside of us that many of you just been waiting, that many of you been waiting for the opportunity. Many of you been waiting for the place. There's a, where can I go ahead and where can I work? Where can I go and put the things that God has given me, that some of you have been blessed with beyond measure with gifts and talents and things that what you do if you've been sitting on them. Mm-hmm. That you've been sitting on them, that you have not been using them to the best of your ability. Why? Because you don't have confidence. Amen. But I'm here to tell you today that confidence is gained by what? By doing the work. Amen. That you don't start on cloud nine. That you have to start at some place. And I'm telling you today that Safe House is a place that you can come in here and you can start from ground zero. That we're going to love on you. We're not looking for a perfect people because I'm far from perfect. If you knew some things about me that you might want to walk back out the door. But I'm here to tell you today that by his stripes that we are healed. That I'm here to tell you today that because of who he is, that I have a place at the seat of at the table. That because of who he is, that you have so also the trail of. I don't care how many drugs you use. I don't care how many people you slept with. I don't care about how much money you stole. I don't care about how many people you murdered. He tells me that he's died for all sin. That not all have fallen short and what and short of his glory. Then this is also a place of accountability. You just don't get to do any and everything that you want to do because we in a day and time now where people don't want to be accountable to anything. Why? Because they have their own moral law. But the moral law that I've been given has been put on record for you and I. I've been these 66 books here that I'm going to share with you today. Good morning. I hope you well. Welcome to the Safe House Church. Those in Facebook land, welcome to the Safe House Church. For God is good and he's worthy to be praised. I hope all is well with everybody that's here. If you don't see a member here that's supposed to be here, I ask that sometime this week, if God lays it on your heart, reach out to them and say, brother, sister, I was just thinking about you. Brother, sister, I was just wondering about you. Brother, sister, I just put a check and see if you were fine, because we are our brother's keeper. Yes, we are. Amen. And I don't know about you, but sometimes, you know, we get lost in the rat race of life. You know, we got so many different things going on. And because we got so many things going on, sometimes we forget about our brother. We forget about our sister, who may not be able to reach out to you. So I asked on this day that God put it on your heart that you reach out to them and say, hey, you know what? I'm thinking about you. Hey, I love you. Hey, is there anything I can do for you? Hey, I just wanted to just say, you know, hello. You don't know how far they would take you, amen. You don't understand how far. I remember I was telling people sometimes that in my life, one of the things that I continually do is I make sure that I'm polite. Because I know me being polite have gotten me into a lot of places. Me and my country twang, and you know what? I've embraced it. I have a country twang, and it's okay because it's who I am. Because I am authentic to who I am. We have to be authentic to our cause. See, so many of us, we got into the place in time now that we don't be authentic anymore. Because we live in a day of what social media, where people can be anything and everything that they want to be. That somebody can be one, say one thing and be another. They can project themselves in one direction and be something else. That they can put themselves out here as this and actually be that. But now we in a time that when the people of God are looking for authenticity. That people who desire to be saved want to know, are you for real? They want to know that, are you really, do you really live what you say? Do you really do what you say you do? Do you practice what you preach? Or do you just come up here as a thing, as a place of show? Do you go up here as a place of, this is what, you know, how, what I do on Sunday? Is it just a place of religion? Or is it a place of salvation? Is it a place of transformation? Is it a place of change? Is it a place that, you know, there's transformation in my heart? Because when you get filled up with the Holy Ghost, that the Bible tells me that it has to be a change, that he circumcises your heart. Circumcising means that he cut away some things. That there's some things on each and every day that I'm dealing with. That's the thing that you're dealing with, that nobody's there. But no matter what, I'm getting there. When I'm there, when he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, that I made you rule of what? That you rule over a few things, now will make you rule over many. So my subject for you today, as we talk about, we've been talking about gifting all year. And this is the year of the gap, and we believe that we're an intercessory for the gap for the city of Greensboro. Amen. And as we stand in the gap, that we stand, gap stands for gifting, attendance, and participation. That, well, first of all, we got to understand who we are. Amen. Before I can invite somebody else to come, I got to understand who I am. You know, I think about it when I invite people to my house, and I don't want people just to come to my house any old kind of way. Amen. That I want to put my best foot forward when I invite somebody to my house. And what I do is I make sure that I clean them and I put away things, and those things that I don't need to be out, they don't need to be out. Some of that stuff that needs to be taken care of, and I empty the garbage, and I make sure it smells good, and I do all this stuff because I set the atmosphere, I'm setting the stage to invite a guest. Well, good morning. I'm going to tell you what we do, the same thing here, that here in the church, what we're doing is we're exercising our giftings, and we're understanding what God has called us to be, and understanding who we are, and working in the confidence that God has given us. And then what we're doing is we're preparing the table, oh God. We're preparing the place for the baby, oh God. We are preparing the place for the people to come in and to understand and see God for who he is. To understand that we're not perfect, but you know but what he is to us is that he's Jehovah Jireh, that he provides for us, that he's more than a conqueror, that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus that strengthens us. So what we're trying to get here is that we're setting the atmosphere. And then after that, then we attend. And why do we attend? Because we attend because I can see my brother and my sister. There's some things that I just can't, you know, I struggle with by myself. And since I struggle with them by myself, what I do is I lean on my brother and I lean on my sister. What do you know about this? Oh, come on, we're going to talk about that today. What do you know about this? And what do you know about that? Can you help me in this situation? Or what is your knowledge and what's your skill on that? Oh, do you not know that God put people in your life for a reason? That most of your blessings, God is not going to drop down from heaven like he did the children of Israel. He's not going to drop manna from the sky. But what he's going to do is he's going to put somebody in your life that's going to give you some strategic direction. He's going to put somebody in your life that's going to give you some confidence. He's going to put somebody in your life that's going to show you where to go and where, what to do and what not to do. He's going to give you somebody in your life that's going to help you filter things. Oh, come on, somebody. We're going to talk about who you with this morning. Amen. Like, then we go into participation that, I gotta come, I gotta do things. So many of us, we got to the point in time now that we just come to places and we just sit down. Mm-hmm. We just sit down, we want to be spoon-fed. You know, I think about my son when he was young. All he wanted to do is, when he sat down at the table, he wanted you to feed him. But we gotta be in a place of point now that we have to feed ourselves. Because if my Bible's, I know my Bible tells me that, there's gonna be a time that we ain't gonna be able to get together. So therefore, you gotta know how to feed yourself. You gotta know how to go to God for yourself. That I'm not your God, because God can remove me right now and put somebody else to put another. Amen. But you got to know how to go to Him for yourself. That is the year of the gap. Amen. So this morning, my subject would be who you with. Who you with? Who you with? Who you with? Who you with? We'll talk from the subject this morning. Who you with affects your gift. Oh, come on, somebody. Who you with affects your gift. I've been looking, and we've been reading social media and all kinds of things, and you know, as we read, and I'm a reader, and that's what I do, and I enjoy reading because I enjoy getting information, and I enjoy learning about things, and I enjoy because I understand that there's no point in time in my life that I have arrived, that it's always a constant going, there's always a constant renewing, there's always a constant, there's enough next level, and there's a next level, there's a next level, and there's a next level. And if you get to the point in time in your life that you think you've done, if you get to the point in time in your life that you think you arrived, I'm here to tell you this morning that you might want to start again. You might want to reconsider. Why? Because none of us in our lives, there's no place that we've reached in God that we have just done. There's no place that we reached in God that we can just say that everything is finished. There's no place we reached in God that we can just quit. There's no place that we reached in God that we just arrived and there's nothing else to do. We're talking about who you with this morning, how it affects your gifts. Amen. So as I look at this, and I was reading through social media and stuff, and I found some things that I thought would be interesting. You know, it was an article out there that was talking about your success. And when we talk about success, we talk about success in the worldly terms of, you know, how you go forth and how you do things. And you know, most people determine success about how much money they have and how much wealth they have accumulated and all these things. And what they were saying is that your success is based on who you marry. Oh, come on, somebody. Said your success is based on who you marry. That the person you marry is a direct correlation of how successful you are. It's a direct correlation of how successful you are. As I continue to do my research, I found out and I understand that, and I found this to be interesting, that the average marriage in America is only 8 years. The average marriage in America is only 8 years. First marriage is about 50% in a divorce. 50% in a divorce. And then on the second marriage, they say 60% ends in divorce. Now, I didn't go any further, you know, because I was looking at this. This is getting worse and worse and worse as I go on. But what I find out is that who you hang out with, who you attach yourself with, has a direct correlation to your gift. It determines how well your gift is going to be used. It's going to determine how well what level your gift gets on. It's going to determine what platform you have. Or it's going to do exactly the opposite, that you're not going to be able not to do anything. And you're going to wonder, you're going to feel a place of desolation. You always feel a place of, I didn't get it done. You always feel a place of, there was something else that I could have done more, I should have done more. You always be that one who had all this potential, who never went anywhere. You'll be that one who always said, I could have, and I should have, and I would have. You'll be all about talking, never about the walk. Oh, come on, somebody. So your marriage is dependent on that. What do you think your godly affiliations depend on? See, so many of us think that we can get saved and then we can just go hang out with everybody. See, you know, so many of us think we get to the point of God that I've got to the point that I arrived and I can walk away. Let me tell you something. That whatever God has delivered you from, the truth of the matter is you will always struggle with it. And I hate to tell you that, but some people, you know, I think in the church sometimes we've got to the point that we've sold people a false bill of goods. That okay, if you struggle with addiction, then all of a sudden when you get saved, that addiction just goes away. But my Bible tells me that the Holy Ghost will be what? A comforter. Right? He's there. He's there to what? Help me through this. So he says he provides a way of escape, but he didn't say that it was just gonna go away. Because what, that's something, remember Paul talked about it, like Paul said, there was something that he prayed God, what, 3 times. And God told him what? On the third time, he said, don't worry about it. My grace is sufficient. So those things that you and I struggled with before we got saved, and those things that we had problems with before we got saved, we still have problems, but not on the same level. Oh, let me break this down to you. Let me help you understand. What I mean by this is that now you have some coping mechanism. You have the Holy Ghost there. What the Holy Ghost, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, it comes with power. Amen. Come on now. So now that it has power, you have the power to overcome versus before you didn't. That's why you failed to it. It's just like sickness. Now, what keeps me from being sick out here? There's all kinds of germs out there right now. We know right now it's flu season and all kinds of things are flying around. The weather's going up and down. People getting sick. We got the coronavirus over there overseas and hoping that it didn't come over here on our side and all of this kind of stuff. What keeps you from that? Well, what we do is what? We try to get these things that we call, we get injections and shots and stuff that help us to be, try to be immune to them. So when they do come, we are able to what? Fight them off. See, so many times that these things, what the Holy Ghost does inside of us is that what? It helps us build our immunity. See, you have your willpower, then you got Holy Ghost power. Willpower is a very strong thing, but it does have a limit. So what do you do after your willpower has ran out? This is when we find brothers and sisters who had the best of intentions to stay out of drugs and alcohol and and being promiscuous and all these other things that people get themselves into. But when their willpower ran out, what do? We find them back where they were before. Are you with me? And the reason this is the difference is when the Holy Ghost comes into your life, now what? Okay, when my willpower runs out, he's there. Because what does the word say? The word says it like this. When I am weak, he is strong. So what that means, simply when I'm weak, meaning that when my willpower has ran out, there he is. So why is it important to know who I'm with? Because who I'm with, what they do is they strengthen my spirit. They strengthen my understanding. The Bible puts it like this. Tell me. Proverbs 18 and 24 is where we are today. 18 and 24. We're going to be in Proverbs a little bit today. Everything I want is right there. 18 and 24. I'm reading out of the New King James Translation today. We've still been unpacking. I found my favorite Bible, so it is on now. I've been looking for it. I didn't know where it was in those boxes, but I got it now. So, the Bible says this in verse 24. It says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So here the verse is talking about a man who has friends. You know, we're talking about finding building the ministry, and we talk about going out here. But first of all, you have to show yourself friendly. How many of us are really showing ourselves friendly? It's easy to get caught up in that one track mind because when I'm going places, I got in my mind what I want to do and where I want to go, but we never know the people that we're entertaining, that we're passing by, who are looking and searching, and you may be the one who can connect them with the God they need to know. You know, I was thinking about it this past week when I was in the gym and I was using the workout equipment, and a young man came over and if you work out in the gym, especially in those large gyms, everybody's always on some piece of equipment, and I was on this, and I ran over here to do this real quick, and I saw him eyeballing my machine, and I could see him looking, because I left my stuff there, like anybody on this machine, and I came back over and was like, oh yeah, I'm using that, and after that, that was all it took. It was that limited moment that I showed myself friendly, and we began to talk, and the next thing, for the next 30 or 40 minutes while I was in the gym, we kept crossing each other, we kept interacting, and we started carrying a conversation, and I found out some things about him, and he found out some things about me, and next thing I know, we found ourselves exchanging numbers, and now it's going to come to a point in time that I'm going to continue to build this relationship. That's how it starts. See, people give to people. Why? Because I know you, and I trust what you're saying. So what, our relationship starts here. So we're building what? Relationship with one another. Relationship. Everything is relational. See, we get to the point in time that we don't realize that everything is relational. That God has called us what? To relationship. Why do you think he gave what? He said in the garden, he told Adam, it's not good that you be alone. Adam had to be what? In relationship with another human. As he was what? In relationship with who? With God himself. Adam had relationship. If you look at the Bible, everything is relational. How far you determine is going, I can tell you how far you're going to go based on the relationships that you have. Why? Because those relationships are going to put you in position. They're going to change your mind thought. They're going to open up your mind. They're going to let you see things a little bit differently than you have seen them before. What do you mean by that? Let me show you. The Bible even tells you that. Let's go on. Let me find it here. Let's go to Proverbs 12 and 26. 12 and 26. We're in Proverbs 12 and 26. We're going to be within these three or four chapters. We're not going far. 12 and 26. And it says this. Hallelujah, Jesus. The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. The righteous should what? Choose their friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. See, if you hang out with the wicked long enough, they're going to get you. But I mean get you, not just, you know, get you, you know, in the sense of jump on you and this kind of thing, but they have a way. You know, we used to have this old saying, person who fell the flock together. And I know some of us, we get to the point, especially with God that just saved us and changed us, that, you know what, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to change the whole world. And we want you to, but also at the same time, you got to have some wisdom with that. If those things were your vices, you just can't go there alone. You cannot just walk out there alone and walk right back into your vices, because the same thing that you already struggled with before you got saved, you struggle still now. So therefore, I wouldn't, if I struggle with sex or something, right? I just wouldn't be seeing myself going, well, I'm going to the strip club to go get some people saved. That wouldn't be a wise thing to do. I wouldn't just go do that. But what I find myself at, maybe I don't have any vices with alcohol. So therefore, what, I go over here to the bar and I work with some people. And I do this and I go to these places. Go not to where you know you was struck at. So he's saying here, if you hang out with them, what happens is, slowly, one of two things is going to happen. Either you're going to convince them or they're going to convince you. Either you're going to convince them or they're going to convince you. So also, what do they do? When you hang out with people like this, they color your vision. You know, sometimes we use that thing that people are looking through rose-colored glasses. What we're saying is that they're looking at things from just this point of view. What these people have a tendency to do, and they don't do it intentionally. Hear me well. It's not an intentional thing. But what they end up doing is what they color your vision. Why are you going over there to that church? Why are you going over there hanging with them people? Why are you over there with them? Why are you doing this now? Why are you seeing that now? Why? Because things are starting to change, and what it is, your change is starting to make them feel uncomfortable. Oh, come on, somebody. That your change is starting to make others feel uncomfortable. And what happens is sometimes when we're in an atmosphere where we start to change and others around us start to feel uncomfortable, what they try to do is make us feel uncomfortable about our change. And when they make us feel uncomfortable about our change, what they do is hope it's a place of where it's witchcraft, because really what it is manipulation. And with that manipulation, what they're hoping to do is what, to get you to change back. Why? Because, you know, it's that thing, you know, we often say that it's like the crabs in the bucket mentality. That what, you can put a crab in the bucket, you can put a whole bunch of crabs in the bucket. As soon as one crab try to get to the top of the bucket, the other crabs, what, they hold on to them and pull them down. You got to get to the place and point and in your life to decide that, what, I'm going to make some conscious decisions that if you want a better life, if you want God to change your life, if you want better things, and you want a better thing, you might have to separate yourself. Separation of yourself. I mean, this is what the Bible talks about us being what? Holy and sanctification. Sanctification means just what? Separate. It don't mean I don't associate with you. Don't mean I don't talk to you. But when it comes to certain things, I just can't hang out with you. You know, I don't forget my, you know, I started a business a couple of years ago, and thank God the business has been successful. And with my business, what I did is I started hooking up with people because there were some things that I thought they brought to the table. I thought there were some things and some knowledge they brought to the table. Proverbs 15 and 22, if you would. 15 and 22, and I'm going to tell you about that a little bit. 15 and 22. Proverbs 15, chapter, verse 22, and it says this. Without counsel, please go array. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. What is he saying here? That we should seek counsel. You should seek counsel. That Bible says, but in the thing of multitude of counsel. And what happens is, you know, you are in the most suitable counsel. What it is it broadens your vision on things.
It brought us your vision. Because sometimes you and I, we only know what we know. We only been what we've been. We only interact with who we interact with. That's just how it is. But if I ask a brother over here, what his opinion, I ask sister over here what's her opinion, I ask sister over here what's her opinion, I ask sister over here what's her opinion, I ask brother over here what's his opinion, they're going to give me a diversity of opinions. And what I have now, what I've accessed is everybody that they know, and I've accessed everybody that she know, and everybody that she know, and everybody that she know, and everybody he know. Why? Because their advice is going to be based on what? Not only their life experiences, but also the people that they have a chance to interact with. Come on, somebody. You see what I'm saying? So by the counsel of wise counsel, notice that you just don't go to anybody. But he said what? Wise counsel. So I ask you this, the people you're hanging out with, what do they bring to the table? Ask yourself, what do they bring to the table? You know what you're bringing to the table. If that's your loyalty, that's your commitment, that's your finances, that's your time, that's your love, your willingness. But what are they bringing to the table? If they're not bringing anything to the table, I suggest that you re-examine that relationship. Because what's going to happen is you're going to have a relationship where you continually deposit into somebody else and you continually getting withdrawn and nobody's depositing in you. Oh, come on, somebody. See, something like that just cannot exist. Something like that will not last long term. And this is why we fall out with people. And this is why we leave on bad terms. Why? Because this person that we've been working with all this time continually take away from us and nobody deposited us. See, even when we reach out, brothers and sisters, and we go out into these communities and we start to work with people, you got to remember, sometimes it's going to take quite much because we're dealing with people who are very, very, deposit deficient. Some of their accounts are on negative a million. And we're going to feel like we gave all our time, we gave all this effort. And this is why the Bible says this. God says it like this in the Bible. He says, what you're doing to the least of me is like you did it unto me. Why do you need to tell me that? Because if somebody had a negative million in their account, and I'm just giving and I'm giving and I'm giving and I'm giving and I'm giving, and it don't seem like we make any headway, the pity really want to give up. But the God in me reminds me that I didn't do it for me, that I did it for them, because I did it unto him. Does that make sense? Because if we start looking at things in our own strength, when we have people that, even in this church, there's people we've helped and we've done things. And if I look at it from a humanistic point of view, I don't want to do anything for anybody else. I don't want to have them do anything else. I don't want to take them here, and I don't want to do this and do that. But what I have to be reminded that it's not about me, but it's about him, and it's about what who you with. Because see, what happens is, the truth of the matter is, if they be with you long enough, then at some point, they're going to start what? Getting to a place that they can deposit in somebody else. Because see, the people that you deposited in have to get to a point in time that they get to the point in time that they reach a level of what? Accountability spiritually. See, a lot of people, they're grown, they're 45, they're 40, they're 50, they're 35, but they're babies in Christ. And the Bible says, when I was a child, I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. So, yes, some people might come in here and they might struggle because they see you got on a pantsuit. Yeah, some of them might struggle because they see you like this, because they are what? Bathed in Christ until they get to a point. So what we have to do, what? Just like a baby. What we do? We protect them. Mm-hmm. We have some babies. We have babies in this church. We protect them. We love on them. Mm-hmm. We correct them. And then what? We put our arms around them. See, I think about it. Sometimes, it's easy for us as, believers sometimes to get offended when things happen. I was thinking about it the other day. My wife was telling me that, she was, playing with my son, and our son, and he spit on her. And, spitting is one of those things that, you can kill them, spitting on somebody. But at the same time, you have to look at the context of who he is. He's two. He didn't know everything yet. Some things he hadn't been taught. But now this is an opportunity for us to say, look, you don't do this. This is why. And this is why you don't want nobody ever to do it to you. There's a moment of what? Correction or accountability. Amen? Now with that correction of accountability, you've been warned. So if it happens again, now you're going to meet the consequences of your action.
Are you with me?
And it's the same thing here in the church, that we have people sometimes, they do things to hurt us. And they cut us deep. And we're sitting there thinking, they 35, 40, 50 years old, they should have known better than that. And the truth of the matter is, brothers and sisters, some of them don't. When we really sit down and we examine it, we find out that they have such deficiencies in where they are. They have such things that they've been through that they don't understand how to be helped. They don't know what it feels like to be loved. They don't understand what it is somebody to put their arms around. And what I'm trying to do is prepare you for those who are coming, y'all, because the people who are coming here, because this is Allison City, it's going to be people who are going to be like that. And we cannot take it personal who you with. Who you with? Because then I went up, since I'm with Christ, he reminds me that when he's married to the backslider, that he was bruised for our iniquities. He was chastised for our iniquities. He was bruised for us. He's to remind me that you were like this at some point in time, and look at you now. That when it's a constant development, it's a constant growth, that's a constant hands around him. The Bible said, what? Grow from milk to meat. So what? Sometimes you have people who want to milk things of God. And we got to understand where they are. Do it feel any good? No, but I got to be the adult in the situation. My wife could have easily snapped him into the middle of next week. If that was an adult, I expected her to. But since he's a child, there's some things we have to make sure he understands. Why? Because this is our child, and we're trying to raise him up so that when he gets to the level of accountability, he won't do it to somebody else and somebody slap the fire out of him. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's the same thing spiritually. So we're going to have some babies that are going to come in and they're going to throw up on us. We're going to have some babies in here and you're going to reach down to them and they're going to poop all over the place. And it's going to be nasty. It's going to stink and we got to deal with it. But if we're going to win the city for Greensboro for God, this is the position we have to be in. This is the place that we have to be in. This is what we got to understand. That everybody who walks through that door is not going to be here for the same exact reason. Some of them are going to be in here just to see. Some of them are going to be in here to chastise. Some of them are going to be in here to throw a thorn in here. But at the same time, if we can keep our focus on what God has called us to do, which is discipleship, empowerment, and accountability, and just walk that walk. See, I have to remind myself, because see, if not, I would have quit a long time ago. Like, Lord, I didn't want to do this anyway. This was your calling. And then he reminded me, yep, that's right, because it was my calling, and you ain't got to worry about it. You just do what I told you to do. Oh, come on, somebody. So I find myself here as I reach out to wise counsel. And some people mean good, but sometimes you got to understand where you are. What does he say? Proverbs 22 and 24, and I'm almost done. Proverbs 22 and 24. 22 and 24. We talk about who you with today. Because what? We're going to have some things that we're going to have to deal with, y'all. And you know what? It's going to be all right because God has equipped us for it. This is why this season right here, you know, we're going to look back in a couple of years when God finished filling this church and this place is packed out. We're going to look back, y'all, and say, y'all remember those Sundays when we was talking about that thing and they weren't hauling nobody there? But those were the Sundays now we're going to cherish. Why? Because we're going to remember that time that God has poured us, that now we're spending so much time taking care of these babies. See, I think about it sometimes. My wife and I, we've been fortunate here lately to sneak off a little bit because my mother-in-law has been around. But I remember when the kids were real, real young, when they were babies and when she was breastfeeding, we couldn't go anywhere. If we went to McDonald's and turned around and came back, that was a blessing. Why? Because the kids were not in a position to be out in the public. They couldn't be exposed to the germs because they weren't ready for them. They couldn't, you know, it was just certain things that you just couldn't put your child into until they got to a certain point in their development. It's the same thing spiritually here in the church. So for a while, we might be bogged down with some stuff, and it don't seem like we're getting to do this and we're getting to do that. For a while, it don't seem like God's presence may not be here, but it's working. It's just that we pouring it out as soon as we get it. Do you see what I'm saying? You know, it's like, you know, so as soon as that deposit hits us, it's, boom, it's transferred right out. See, I don't know about you, but I've had a negative account on time or two. Thank God we left those places a long time ago. I'm grateful. But I've had one or two before, and what I found out was, as soon as you got something, it was gone. If you had a negative account, as soon as you hit the other deposit, you didn't see it. Why? Because the account was in such deficiency, it just evaporated as soon as it was there. Because the bank was taking back what they felt belonged to them. I'm telling you, it's the same exact way. We're going to look and we're going to be the positive people, and you're going to be like, I'm not making no headway. Remind yourself, it's because they got those kind of deficiencies. You're going to say this and this and that, and it seems like it got worse. You're going to tell them and tell them, look, don't go there, don't do it. And they're going to still do it. And then you're going to go ahead and say this and that. And then they're going to do that. And you're going to be like, what in the world is going on? Maybe they just don't care. No, it's just that they have gone down so low that it's going to take that much to pull them up. Salvation is work. Deliverance is work. Think about it. You know, for my ladies here who delivered babies. You know, I was there, and I know you was there, and I know others were there. When the babies were delivered, that was work. I saw my wife laying on that table, and I'm on that bed, and with her feet up in those stirrups, and she was pushing, and she was sweating, and she was grinding. It was work. Deliverance ain't instant. It's a what? It's a process. She had to push a little bit, and she would rest a little bit. And she would push a little bit, and then she would rest a little bit. And you know what? The whole time, she was in intense pain. Deliverance is a process. It doesn't feel good. But you ask her now, you know, we joke about it now, but will she trade the children that are here through that process? Absolutely not. Because that pain of that time is what? Temporary for what you have now, what? A lifetime of inheritance. And this is what we got to remind ourselves of, that the pain of dealing with people is temporary. The pain of where they are is temporary. What you're doing is you have them in the deliverance room, and then what? Just like you want them to be delivered, the baby has to want to be here too. Think about it. If that baby don't want to be here, the baby can fight against the mother. So what? It's a process that they work together, and since they work together, but both of them work together, what? The baby gets here. And then what you see on the sideline is what? The doctor's over there, coach, push. So the doctor in this case being pastor. Now it's time to push. Oh, give it a second, give it a second. Because what? See, what the doctor's doing, he's in tune with all the little instruments. He's seeing how your blood pressure's doing. He's seeing how the baby blood pressure's doing. He's noticing how your oxygen levels are. He's noticing how the baby's oxygen levels are. That's what I, as pastor, that's what I do. When I sit down, I'm telling you, all right, it's time to push. Why? Because I see strategically, God has allowed me to see in the spirit through discernment that the time is right, that your oxygen levels are right, your anointing level is right, your power levels are right, your spirit is right. So now it's time to push. Then when it's time to pull back. Because when there's a season in our time that we have to go back. We have to regroup. Because if you keep giving and giving and giving and giving, then this is when you become weak. And we see it happening in our churches all the time, that people have great intentions and they've done great work. And then we wonder, how did this brother fall like this? And when you have got to a point in time that you're giving and giving and giving so much and nobody else is giving to you, you, what happens is you can fall. This is why preachers are still committing suicide. Why? Because they've lost hope. And once you lose hope, what do you have? Because hope is built inside of faith. Faith is what? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So if you don't have hope, then you can't have faith. And if you can't have faith, then you can't believe this. Because faith is the number one element to even believe what we're talking about today. So if you don't have faith, how are you going to believe? Who you with? Last one, and I'm going to get out of here. Ecclesiastes, the fourth chapter, and we're on verse 9. Ecclesiastes, the fourth chapter, and verse 9. Are y'all getting anything out of this today? Hallelujah, Jesus. Fourth chapter, verse 9, I'm going to do 9 and 10. The value of a friend. He says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift his companion. But woe to him who is all alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep them warm. But when one lie down, who will keep them up? But how can one be warm alone? Through one may be overpowered, but by another, two can withstand him. What I'm saying today, we need each other in this faith. You know, my wife, you know, I think she probably could have delivered that baby, but it would have been some trouble now. If she needed something, who's going to be there to get it? This is why the partnership or relationship is so important. I like to believe that everything that I'm not, my wife is. And everything that she's not, I am. Now, people say, well, you know, it's 50-50. No, it's not 50-50. It's whole-whole. I'm a whole person. I just have some things I just don't have. She's a whole person. That's the thing she just don't have. And by us coming together in relationship, the things that she has is some of the things that I needed. And some of the things that she needed, some of the things that I have. So what I find out is, you know, we've been married, this year will be 18 years. 18 years I've been putting up that beautiful woman. No, I didn't put that, but I love her. So now in 18 years, what I'm finding is that, see, sometimes I know that my wife needs push in certain areas of her life. But at the same time, my wife knows that I need slow down in certain areas of my life. And what happens is, us working together like that, whether it was intentional or unintentional, puts us exactly where we need to be when we need to be there. Let me put it to you an example. So say for instance, I want to run real, real fast. If she jumps on my back as a slow down weight, I still get there, but I don't get there as fast as I would have gotten there. And sometimes I walk that way, there's a season. Sometimes we'll see what God wants us to have, but we're so excited about it, we just be running. Full steam ahead, ain't looking at nothing else. Versus maybe God has shown her some things that, okay, this is what I want you to have, but she's wanting to move at a slower pace. So what happens is my fast pace and her slow pace average, and we get there where we're supposed to be there. So what I find out is, do I stop being who I am? No. If I'm a pusher and I'm a driver, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep pushing and driving, because that's what I do. If she's more thoughtful and saying, you know, you need to look at this, you need to look at that, she needs to continue to be who she is. Because together, once we work that thing out, it puts us exactly where we're supposed to be. So if I decided that, okay, I'm going to be like her, then now both of us together, now both of us are running really slow. Well, she decided she want to be like me. Now I might be getting there too fast before everything got developed, the guy that I set before me. So you got to believe that what that partnership is exactly the way it needs to be. And because of that, it causes some things. And this is my last verse, I promise. Yeah, Proverbs 27 and 17. I'm going to prove it to you. Proverbs 27 and 17, and this is it. And we're going to get out here on that word. Proverbs 27 and 17. And he says this. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. We know it like this in the King James Version, that iron sharpens iron. What does that really mean? If you ever seen iron, you ever seen, like, you go to, like, one of those steakhouses, where they get them knives out and they start hitting them together, you hear them rubbing together, cheek. What they're doing is two things. Number one, they're heating the metal. Okay? As you heat the metal reaches to a point that it heats up, then it actually starts to what? Change, metamorph. It changes. So to change metal, what you do is what? You heat it up. Also, that heat, when they do that, it causes what? Friction. And the friction is what allows some of the metal shavings to come off that gives the knife a blade. Okay? Let me bring that to you in your relationships. Sometimes arguments are good. Whether you believe it or not, they are. Why? Because I care enough and you care enough that we both care for the same thing. Now we're trying to figure out how we're going to get there. So maybe I don't understand it the way you understand it. You don't understand the way I understand it. So what we do is, I'm not always right, but I'm not always wrong. You're not always right, but you're not always wrong. So as we work through that thing together, what happens is we come what we typically say in the middle of, we call it compromise. I call it making a new blade. I knock some stuff off me. You knock some stuff off you. And it's the same thing, not just in your marriages, but also in your relationship with what? With people. There's some things, you know, I come in with a strong idea about. There's some things that some other people come in with a strong idea about. And you know what? I'm going to hold my ground, and I made my ground. And then they hold that ground. Now neither one of us are doing anything. But if we don't work and go forward, what we got to do, we got to start this conversation. And in there, what I find out is, really, you wanted what I wanted, but you was looking at it from that point of view. Which doesn't mean you was wrong. It's just that I didn't have the experiences and things that you've been through to see it from that point. Do you see what I'm saying? I don't know how it is to live on the streets. I never been hungry a day in my life. I'm grateful. But maybe you have. So you see it from this point of view that, okay, I'm thinking we're going to go out here as a church and we're going to serve these people on the street and we're going to do this, this, and this. And you look at me like, oh my God, that's the worst thing we do. And I'm like, no, this is a good thing. And you're like, no, it's not. And I'm thinking, well, what do you know about it? But if you've been on the street, oh, come on, somebody. You might know something. Like, well, if you bring that on the street, this is what, since you've never been there, and I've been there, I know this is an issue, this is an issue, and this is an issue. Oh, things have changed now. This is why the Bible said what? The wise and the what? Wise counsel. Because if you've been there, and I've never been there, the whole point is that when we're communicating, we have the same goal in mind. So why my brother can sharpen me his eye? Because we all have the same goal in mind. So yes, this is the thing about church, is that, you know, we have all these different denominations and stuff, and we often constantly each other. But it's what? Because we all have the same goal in mind, that we want to see Jesus. That's it. Why are you here? It's not because I'm the best preacher. No. Not because this church is full of capacity. No. But because you have decided that you want to see Jesus, and this is the sign, this is the iron that you want to work with right now in this season. And the iron is sharpening each other. So what do we do? Why is it important that we attend? Because this is a sharpening. That's all it is. It's taking some stuff off your counters. It's rubbing off some hard edges off you. Both you and I. And when we rub off, it's like, well, you know what? I never thought about it like that before. That's growth. Because see, you know, most of us come here with our ideas already made. This is what I'm going to do, and this is what I'm going to do. And then you go in there, and then you fail, and then you wonder why. You know, I've never, like I said, I've never been homeless. But somebody homeless come in there and say, look, don't beat us. Give us socks. Now, I already made up my mind, because in my mind, this is what I think is right. We're going to beat them. So we can tell people we failed. So do we want to be famous or functional? Because we can be on TV and say, look at us feeding all these people. Right? Or we can be functional and go to the Hanes brand where they have a sale and buy $2,000 worth of socks and put a big box of socks out there so y'all can get all you want. Do you see what I'm saying? We got to find our niche. And as we go forward, I'm praying to God, I'm seeking God, I ask that you please, God, Lord, what is it our niche in this city? What is it that you want Safe House to be known for? What is it that you want people, when they say Safe House, they be like, oh yeah, that's that place where, that's what we need to be working on now. We want to know, say, God, where is that? So who are you with? Are you with yourself? Are you in it for the fame and fortune? Or are you willing to be effective? Because I submit to you time and time again, research has shown this, and things have shown this, that if you're effective, fame is running the court, if that's what you want. But let's seek to be effective. So if the homeless person said, don't feed me, buy me socks, let's buy them socks. If the brother or sister said, look, I don't need this, but I need you to help me here. Let's listen. Let's hear what they're saying. What are they truly saying? You know, let's use that spirit of discernment that God has given us. Let me discern. All these things that I've been preaching and teaching you over the last couple of weeks, these are strategically placed that everything matters. Why we've been talking about fruit of the Spirit, because you're going to have to learn long suffering. Because I'm telling you, sometimes it ain't going to be nice. We're going to have to endure. We're going to have to be meek. You know, we're going to have to be all these things. So what God is doing is what He's developing us so that when we go out there, then what? We would use the opportunity to the best of our ability. And that's what He's doing. He's transforming us. I've learned more in the last year and a half, or the last 6 months, really since I've been pastor this church than I have my entire life. More just about me, what I'm willing to do, what I'm willing to tolerate, what's my tolerance level. People, you know, you're doing this, you've done that, what happened to this, what happened to that. And God is constantly pricking and pulling and tightening and binding and changing. And I'm at some point, I'm going to be what He wants me to be. But I can't avoid the process. And now as we step forward, now it's the process is that, okay, we've gotten cleaned up. We got some things right. We got some things straight. What's the next step? The next step is us stepping out. Let's show the world who we are. We ain't got to be many. We just got to have the right one with us. We just got to have the right one with us. We just got to have the right one with us and not be scared. You know, my wife and I, we was talking about some things and I was thinking about some things. And there were some things that I wouldn't do or say because I was worried about the retribution or I was worried about in this day of counter culture or worried about, you know, things I've done in my past that, you know, that just wouldn't good things that I've done. And I was like, well, you know, it's like you get to the point now, so we see it all the time. But what if you get to this point and somebody brings this up? I've gotten to the point that I realize that's a risk that I have to take. And I have to trust.
And you know, and if they're going to discredit me because of something I did 25, 30 years ago, then so be it. It's their problem and not mine. And I'm to go forward. Because see, that's the thing. You know, I was thinking to myself and I was praying. I said, God, why is it when I get to certain things that I hesitate? It's because I'm worried more about my image than his image. Oh, come on, somebody. You know, I'm worried about my image and that, oh man, if they find out I did that, are they going to think differently of me? If they find out I got myself into that, or I did this, or this happened, they're going to think differently of me. Because sometimes we can get to a place that people see us as superhuman, that we don't make mistakes, that we don't do things. But what I'm finding out is that God wants us to be in a place of authenticity. That's when he can use you. This is why, if you look throughout the scripture, why did he always use these people who were into all this stuff? Because those he could have used on the other level, he couldn't use. Why? Because they would not humble themselves, because they didn't want people to know their stuff. Think about it. The rich and stuff, they would hide their stuff. They would hide their taxes like you do now. They would hide indiscretions. They would hide illegitimate children because they could pay for them. All this stuff. Versus those who didn't have as much, they couldn't hide them. So what they had to do? They had to deal with it. It was open in the public. Everybody knew about it. And it's those things that people are looking for, because they are feeling, and this hit me as a ton of bricks this week, and I'm going to be quiet. I was talking to an individual that I had known for some time when I was visiting, and as I had known him and been visiting him, and you know, and I was talking to him, it's like, this individual had me on this, has me on this pedestal. And that makes me feel very, 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 very uncomfortable. Because I'm thinking, yes, this happened to you, but the truth of the matter is, you got caught and I didn't. Come on, somebody. You got caught and I didn't. Yeah, you had a baby out of wedlock, but you got caught and I didn't. Yeah, you stole that, but you got caught and I didn't. And you, so that's the truth of the matter is, I'm looking at myself when I look at these people. And I have to tell myself that now, you know, I have this persona that people see. My image that I worry about. And God said, don't worry about your image. You're supposed to look like my image. And his image is what? Stretched out. Hole in his hands. Holes in his feet. Hole in his side. And his head hung down and said, I gave up the ghost for you and it's finished. So I have to walk around and say, no, you know what? Don't put me on that pedestal. Do you see that hole in my hand right there? Yeah. You're worthy because I'm worthy. He made me worthy. So the difference between me and you is just that you got caught and I didn't. So it doesn't make me any different because it's still sin. We're still guilty of the same sin. It's just I didn't get caught. And my Bible tells me, it said, what you didn't get in this world, you get in the world to come. So maybe you're in a better position. Woo! Maybe you're in a better position because you already paid the debt. And I didn't. Because there's nothing you get away with. You get mercy, but you don't get away with anything. So if you pay the debt now, I still owe it. And when you think about it in terms of that, it changes things. It changes things. So when we work with brothers and sisters, I know something's like, whoo, that makes me feel uncomfortable. It's supposed to. Because it's growth. And when you're growing, it feels uncomfortable. It hurts. It's sore. But when you find out is that as you continue to go, it becomes your strength. The number one way, and I'm getting old preacher now, this hasn't closed 5 times. Look, the number one thing that you can abuse a situation is, that will take the sting out of something is, by actually amending and doing it yourself. Now, I've been noticing here lately, being a mentor of Jamal Bryan, and he's down in Atlanta, Newburgh now, and I've been watching all his interviews lately. You know, I watched, like, I think 5 interviews back to back, and in every single one of them, he talks, and you know, he's going on and on, you know, how Jamal is, you know, he's civil rights and this and this and that. But he gets to a point in talk when he talks in there, and he talks about, I destroyed my marriage, and I'm an adult. And he did it every single interview. Now, I thought about it, why is he doing that? But then I thought about it. Strategically, when you put your mess out, nobody can use it against you. Oh, come on, somebody. Because see, the first thing he said, somebody going to say that, yeah, but ain't your wife on TV, nah, nah, you mean this?
To do what? To diffuse your witness. Because then they like, you ain't no better than the rest of them. But it's different when I start up and say, look, yeah, I fall short, this and this, but this is what I'm doing now. I don't have nothing to hide. And now his ministry is at an all-time high level. God is using him to do some tremendous things. Whether I agree with all his doctrine or not, it's besides the point. But I know blessings when I see them. And this is what God is trying to get us to understand. That stuff we did, you got to own it, baby. You did it. Yeah, I so dope. But this is what I do now, and this is how I got my job, and this is how I got my family. Yeah, I was a homemaker. Yeah, this is how I did. Yes, I was out here and I was doing this. And oh yeah, I used to be on those poles, but this is how I got off the pole. Because what it is somebody else who's on it, they want to get off too. And now you told them that it's okay to trust you, to follow you, that you are what? A model for them. What is a model? A model is what? This is what this looks like. It don't mean it's gonna be perfect, but I know it's somewhat like this. And that's all Christ is asking us to be, is what? A model. My life is not my own, but I am a model for those before me. So if they look at somebody who's come after being in alcoholism, then you can raise your hand. Hey, I used to be that. And I still struggle, but this is how I didn't struggle. This is your wisdom helping them. Yeah, I don't go to these kind of places, and I make sure I'm not around these kind of things. The world is figured out more than the church. In the sense what? They got AA and all these things. What do they do? That's what they do. They hang out together. They feel strength together. And they understand that what? Connectively. Who are you with? So I ask you today, not that we learn from the world, the world actually took it from the church, but the church didn't apply. So today, I ask that you consider who you with and know that thing that you did, just own it. Own up to it. Keep moving, because it's going to be that thing that's going to attract people to you. Why? Because not because that thing you did, but that authenticity. Because that same spirit that you dealt with, they dealt with. And if you conquered it, they want to know how you conquered it. If you're here, I want to know how you got there, so I'm hanging out with you. And then we come in and what? Iron sharpens iron, and we continue to get better. God bless you all. Love you all. I hope that this has been a blessing to you all. Please feel free to come back to the Safe House Church at any point in time. We're located at 3113 Cedar Park Road here in the beautiful city of Greensboro, where Greensboro is our city, and I'm the city of Greensboro's pastor, Dr. Peter Healy. Welcome, and God bless you all, and feel free to come back again. Hallelujah, Jesus. I thank you. Amen.